Praise the Lord for all of you who covered us in prayer and your support. And we always are thankful for the opportunity to go with a covering. We need prayer covering. When we go out, the enemy's there. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like us here. Because we stand for something that he can't stand, right? And we stand for the Lord our God. Hallelujah. But we really, really appreciate and know that there's people behind us praying for us. And I want you to know that the souls that came to the Lord, you're all a part of. This church is part of the harvest. We had over 300 souls commit themselves to the Lord Jesus. If we would count all the people that came forward during our altar calls, we'd have well over 500-600 people. But we would ask the pastors, what do you think of this group of 150 that came up? How many of those people are new? And in that one church, he said about 60. We're trying to be very conservative, but we saw so many exciting things. I mean, God is moving in Argentina. He's moving all over the world. People are hungry for the gospel, and I pray that God's Holy Spirit will move in this place, hallelujah, and in the city of Cedar Rapids, in the state of Iowa, in the nation of this United States of America, that this will be a year of God's presence moving with signs and wonders and miracles, which I believe that he will, hallelujah. And we are just excited to be a part of the move of God. It's going to be a battle, like my wife says, because the Lord spoke to me and he gave me this scripture, fight the good fight of faith. Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 6 and verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. So I know that we're getting ready to move into an area of our lives maybe that we've never been before, but it's a good area because it's where God blesses. It's where God touches us. It's where God works miracles for us. And I was worshiping this morning. I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, this church has a good foundation. And he said, because of this foundation, I'm going to put a covering over it. And I saw people coming and going. And the Lord saying, I'm giving you the freedom that you need in this place so that you can send people out and you can bring people in. This was the word. This was the revelation that I saw. But it was like almost like a big tent, and it was a safe place. So the Lord is saying to you tonight, you can bring your friends in. You can go out of this place with authority. You can bring your friends in that need to hear the Word of God. You can go out with the Word of God. Amen. So there's an open door that God has placed over this church because of the foundation of truth that we're building on. God's Word is spoken here every Sunday, every midweek service, every Sunday night. And so there's a foundation of truth that has been put in the concrete, right? Put in the makeup of this place. Hallelujah. And it's a spiritual thing. We know in the natural, it's a pretty strong building. If a tornado came, you know, it's a pretty strong building. But I'm talking about spiritual things. And the spiritual realm is open over this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, pastors, for your prayers and your hard work and laying that foundation. We think of the pastors who began this work many, many years ago. And the foundation, the Gales who've laid the foundation, and the ones that were even before the Gales. And Pastor Stevens and all of those who have followed him. And today we get to reap some of that fruit. That seed is growing, and we get to eat some of that fruit. And the same way in the nations of the world. We just had open doors from the very first night that we flew to Atlanta to go to Argentina. And we fly. The flight is all night from Atlanta to Buenos Aires. It's a 10-hour night flight. And so we get to the airport, and we have to take a bus to the other airport because we are flying to another city to have a service that night. And we get out of the plane, get our luggage, and before we can get into the car, there's a downpour. There's lightning and thunder because it's summer down there. And good old thunderstorm rolled through, and it didn't quit raining for 5 days. And but that within that first week, 7 services, we could have come home and said, wow, God, you did an awesome thing. You really moved. And so we just had people that came up, rededicated their lives. We had kids that were on cutting themselves, that were on drugs, and they just rededicated their lives. We were in some churches that were very wealthy, and we were in churches that were very poor. And I'm thinking of this one church with a good old couple we've known for many years that started ministering to the children in this area. The suburb of Buenos Aires, a very, very poor area. For years, the garbage dump was across the street from their church. And in the last few years, the city has come in and filled that full of dirt and plowed, actually built a little playground on top of it. And so miracles are starting to happen. But they started ministering to the kids, and then all of a sudden the adults started coming. That's the way it works. And so they have a nice group of people. And we were ministering there a couple of different services, and we had a little mini conference there and invited some leaders in. And the last night I gave an invitation. I said, is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? We invite you to come to the front. Nobody responded. So, I don't know what came over me. He said, if you were to die tonight, and would you go to heaven to be with the Lord? Do you really know for sure that you have salvation, that God would say, enter? And they all came forward. The whole church. But when we started ministering to those people, all of a sudden there was demons manifesting. I mean, demons, folks. Spitting and growling and everything else, vomiting. Now, I'm not saying this to scare you, but God set those people free. They hadn't heard the truth. They hadn't embraced the truth. So when we embrace the truth, the old enemy can't live in there. He has to come out. And so we met with another pastor who's going to go and help teach in that place, to teach these people how to stay free, how to live for the Lord. And because that whole area is, there's no cemented streets, people live in shacks. But the truth of God's word is being preached there. Hallelujah. Went to other places where many young people came up after the invitation. They would come up and just begin to cry and weep, rededicate their lives to the Lord. So thank you again. We're not bragging about ourselves. Please understand that we go and speak the word of God, and the word of God does what it needs to do. We had many confirmations that people came up and said, last year when you were here, you spoke to us, and this has all come to pass. And we just wanted to share that with you. So there's confirmation in God's word. When the truth is preached, there are results. And that's why this church is growing. Pastor Cody, Pastor Harris, and all of you who are leaders here, this church will continue to grow as we stand upon the truth of God's word, and as we take a firm, this foundation that's been laid, and we don't vary from the truth. The Lord says he will bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. And so this is a good, safe place to be. Hallelujah. And thank you for those of you who are leaders here and who are here all the time. Thank you for standing. As my wife said, stand firm. But there's more to than just stand. We have to advance. And that's what we're going to do in 2019. Fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Take it to a next level. I don't like to fight. Well, if you don't fight, what happens? Usually the enemy moves in. And I've spoke this different places in Argentina. I'll speak it here tonight, but every time the church has backed off, guess what's happened? The enemy's taken a step forward. Every time the church has backed up, the enemy's moved in. We can see it in our nation. Things that the church did, what, 40 years, 50 years ago, 20 years ago? We're seeing the bad results because the church has backed up. And we call ourselves a Christian nation. Hallelujah. That's all for free. That's not a part of the message. But it must be a part of the message. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me, Pastor Cody, about you. The 2019, there's a big door that's going to open up for you. And it has nothing to do with the natural. I know everything's lining up in the natural for you. But the Lord says, I'm going to open up a spiritual door for you. And you will walk through that door. And you will grab a hold of what I will tell you, the Lord says. And it's going to change not only your life,
with the lives of those who God has entrusted you with. And I believe that it's going to be an anointing of certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's my interpretation. But the Lord says, get ready, because he's going to open up this door. It's a big door. That's what I saw in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Anoint him for this time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to read a scripture out of Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. I'll read it out of the New Living because I like some of the words that it says there. Not that they're not all good. Verse 23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And Wanda, this was Chuck's favorite verse. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Lord, we thank you for your word. Make it real in our hearts, Father. Stir up what needs to be stirred up. Awaken that which needs to be awakened in us, Lord. As we close out this year, Lord, and we say thank you for all of your faithfulness. As we close out this year and say thank you, Lord, you were there with us every step. Sometimes we didn't see you. But Lord, we are looking forward to something great taking place in 2019. But tonight, Father, just let this word come alive in our spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are ways, and I've entitled this Looking for a Way. And all over the world, we have people that are looking for a way. And it seems like the ways that they're looking for draws people away from Jesus, not closer to him. Draws them away from the church, not closer to the church. But people are always looking because they're unhappy, they're unfulfilled. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. And also, I believe that the enemy of our soul is always trying to draw us away from the Lord. And even some churches and cults are trying to tell us this is the way. They even use scripture in a part. And others say this is the way, but they only want to get your money. I said these things to bring us to the truth of what God's word says. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. But this is the Lord speaking to us. It's not necessarily an easy way. It's about a month ago, before we went to Argentina, one Sunday morning, I had a vision of this big culvert, and I saw people running into this culvert, but I saw a division in the entrance of this culvert, and there was just a little sliver off to the one side. And I saw a few people going in that little sliver, but everybody was going through the culvert. The crowds were going through the culvert. And the Lord said, you have to press in to receive what I have for you. If you just go with the crowd, you're going to be lost. These are the words of Jesus. You're going to be lost. We have to press in. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm trying to tell you, we have to, hallelujah, put up a standard. That's my next message, maybe down the road. I don't know, but we have to set standards that we have followed. Not rules, not regulations, but standards that the Word of God teaches us so that we can live victorious and walk victorious. Jesus also said, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and that in abundance. We know that's John 10, 9, and 10. But anytime we see destruction, anytime you see division, anytime you see these bad things happening, we know it's not from God. Amen? You're quiet tonight. Amen? Amen? We know it's not from God. Jesus says, I am the door. If you enter by me, I give you life. I give you salvation. And you can go in and out. And that kind of goes with the vision I saw. You can go in and out and find pasture, find spiritual supply. The thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anytime we see that in our lives, in our family's life, at the workplace, whatever, anything that manifests in your life, and we see this happening, we know, and we should right away say, this is not of God. And take that standard and say, look, the devil's trying to get us away. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and that in abundance. He didn't say there wouldn't be trials. Pastor pretty well put the truth to us. He didn't say there wouldn't be trials. He said, I want to give you life and that in abundance. And so we're looking forward to 2019 because we believe that there's an abundant life that's coming to the church. It may not be in dollars and cents, because many times we think of, oh, I'm going to be blessed in my pocketbook. Well, that may be a part of it, but we're talking about growing closer to the Lord and having a closer walk with the Lord, an anointed walk with the Lord, hallelujah, where we can hear the Lord speak to us. It says even the disciples questioned Jesus. In John 14 and verse 5, Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Well, if you back up to verse 1, Jesus, or verse 3, I guess it is, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. He had just told him, but Thomas says, we don't know the way. But we do know the way. God's word says that this is the way. So the Spirit is speaking, I believe, to us. Jesus is saying, I'm coming back for the church. I'm going to come back for you, the church. There's only one way. Everybody's looking for a way, but there's only one way. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Except through me. So I want to move to the next phase of this message is motivate. In our theme verse, verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. God wants us to motivate each other. It's an impulse or desire from within. Motivate means which causes a person to act. And here the Lord is speaking, saying, I want to motivate you to acts of kindness, acts of good, acts of love. And people's spirits are closed today. They don't want to hear the truth. But when they see your unconditional love, and you motivate them into this type of a thing, their spirits will open. But what is love? I want to remind you what love is. In a few moments, we want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 to 5. But before that, there was a motivating that Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 6. He said, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gifts, or to motivate the gifts that are in you that came to you by impartation. A lot of us tonight, we have had impartation into our lives through the preaching of the word, through the laying on of hands, and just through the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we allow that gift to just lie dormant. And the Lord is saying tonight, I want to motivate or awaken that gift, that impulse from within, that desire from within, to do what I've called it to do. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, you did not get the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. He says, that's been imparted to you. So now it's time to get that awake and fan it in, fan the flame, get the fire burning again so you get back to the passion that was once in you. Hallelujah. And so, as a church, we need to have the Holy Spirit come and fan into flame the gifts. All of you have gifts. All of you have talents. gifts that have been imparted by the Holy Spirit into your life. Your gift looks different maybe than mine, but you all have a gift, and we work together as one body to bring health to the whole body. Amen? We're not all the feet, we're not all the head, we're not all the arms or hands or fingers, but we work together. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit works together. So that, I'm hoping that we can catch that, what the Lord is saying. So we motivate people, and let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Thank you, Lord, if we could just have that kind of love. But that's what God is saying. I want to motivate you to love that kind of love again, and to acts of love. And this is how the body will be healthy. This is how the body will grow. And so he's speaking to us. So how do we motivate people? As believers, you know, we're not supposed to say, give me, give me, give me, give me, and not do anything the other direction. But it seems like we want, God bless me, bless what I'm doing, bless my work, bless my pocketbook, everything, my family, my, you know, and we want everything for ourselves. But it works the other way. Because God has blessed us and touched our lives, then we can begin to extend our hands. And we can show God's love in very simple ways. This church has done a very good job of it by having, you know, the free gas, groceries, the meals, the coats, the backpacks. I believe there's even more that we can do. It's young people, you can mow somebody's lawn, shovel the snow, you know, carry their groceries, help them across the street. But somewhere in these acts of love, God is going to touch people's lives. And it's so important that we allow God to use us in these acts of love, because it opens their spirit. And then they can begin to hear God speak. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to fan the flame, put a little fire in us, to motivate us, to awaken those gifts. Paul says, I laid on my hands on you, Timothy, and I imparted gifts into your life. And he says, I want those gifts to come alive now. Your grandmother Lois prayed for you. Right? You know the scripture. You've read the scripture. So, in our theme verse, it was talking about hold tight to what we believe and confess. And I think Pastor Cody was talking about it. We heard it this morning. But there's a faith that has been put into our lives, and the devil would like to separate us from that faith. He says, hold on fast to what we believe and what we confess. And this is going to be really important in 2019, is that we know who we are, that our anchor holds sure, that even though the winds come and blow us back and forth, that our feet stay right on that solid rock and we're not moved. Because what? We've heard the word and we walk in obedience. Remember singing that story, the rains fell and the rains, floods came up, and the rains fell and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm and the house on the sand went crash. The difference is they both heard, one obeyed and one didn't. So you want a for sure foundation, obey God's word. But it says here, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are, and as the days are changing and things are getting worse, a lot of people stop going to church. The believers need to be together. You don't need to be a lone ranger out there today. It's dangerous. But we believe in the local church. We support the local church. We believe that you should be connected to a group of believers, which we call the church. I believe that. My wife and I believe that we support the church, we stand with the church, and we believe that you should be connected. You say, why? Because that's where we find the anointing and presence of God. It's so much easier sometimes here than it is at home. Shouldn't be, but a lot of times when you come into corporate worship, the Holy Spirit comes on. This Holy Spirit is here. He comes on you, and your spirit is opened up, and you can begin to worship the God and praise God. So why we need to be connected to a local church is because that's where the anointing of God can come into our lives. Guess what happens when the anointing of God comes? God's love shows up. We feel His love. We feel His presence. And this is where we can learn more about God. Because this is where I can be healed in my whole body, body, soul, and spirit. My whole being can be healed in the local church. Because here I have a family. The people become a family to us. Look around you. They're your family tonight. But also because I can be protected in my Christian walk, my Christian life. Because there's so much false teaching out there. And if you come into a church that's rooted and grounded in God's Word, and you listen to the teaching, that keeps you safe and keeps you stable, even though the pastor might say, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that because that's against God's Word. You say, why the church? Because it's God's plan. And you can do a lot of good things outside the church, and you can help people outside the church. You can do a lot of things for Christianity. But the only way to make it last for eternity, it needs to be under the covering of the church. You may not like that, but it's true. Because it's God's plan in the beginning. It doesn't mean you can't do anything outside the church. It doesn't mean that. But if you do it going from the church, that's why we go out from this church, under the covering of this church, under your prayers of this church, and we can do great things, and they will be lasting for eternity. But if you go out there and start something, you say, well, I don't really want anything to do with the church. And you can do a lot of good things, but it probably won't last. We can tell you story after story of people who have done that. Why the church? Because in church, God talks to me. He begins to show me that there's a plan for my life. There's so many benefits to being a part of a group of believers. So you say, well, why are people not going to church? Why have they stopped going to church then? I can tell you why.
A lot of excuses, a lot of reasons. To name a few, hurt by somebody in the church, or sports are more important, the church isn't meeting my needs, I don't like the pastor, youth pastor, or his wife. And the list goes on and on. But the real reason is that the signs of the times that we're living in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. I'm going to read that. In the last days. It's going to be very difficult times in the last days. For people will love only themselves and their money. I'm going to stop there. In Acts 2 and verse 16 and 17 says, in the last days I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. In the last days, they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord, upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will have visions. Okay, then we continue to read. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless and puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God.
they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from those people. Woo! But in the last days, I'm talking about two scenarios now. In the last days, we're going to see a falling away. But in the last days, we're going to see an outpouring. I want to be where the outpouring is. I don't want to be a lone ranger out there under the attack of the enemy with no one surrounding me and no one praying for me, no one covering me, no one supporting me. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is, where there's power, where there's authority. Hallelujah. And God's word says it very plain and direct. This is what's going to happen in the last days. That's why we need to be diligent in God's love. That's why we need to motivate you, the church, to do acts of love and good works, to be busy, right? And that's why we want to connect everyone to be, encourage everyone to be connected to a group of believers. You need to be covered and protected by a shepherd, body of believers. Because whether you know it or not, they help you, they pray for you, they cover you in times when you don't know what's going on, or you're having a problem with your family or your spouse or finances or whatever, but they cover you, they protect you, they pray for you, they encourage you. That's what the shepherd does. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I need. But the Lord puts pastors as shepherds over a flock of people like this church. And we have pastors here that cover you and pray for you. Hallelujah. There's a story of heard this many years ago. Young man, really on fire for the Lord. And he was very faithful in church. And all of a sudden, one Sunday he didn't show up. And the next Sunday he wasn't in church again. And the third Sunday he wasn't in church again. The pastor said, I need to go visit him. And it was kind of a cold evening. He went to see him that evening, and when he walked into the house, the fireplace was roaring, and a couple of chairs there, and the pastor didn't say a word. He just went up to the fireplace, sat down. The young boy went and sat down in front of the fire. They're just sitting there, and the pastor took a tongs, and he reached in on one of those hot coals, and he took that hot coal, and he brought it to the edge of the fireplace on the brick and just laid it there. They just sat there. They didn't talk. They just sat there. And pretty soon this red hot coal became black. Pastor got up, and the boy, young boy said, I'll see you next Sunday. He realized what was happening. This fire went out because it wasn't in the place where there was a lot of fire. God wants to motivate us, to encourage us to be together as a body of believers. It doesn't matter if you have, I think a pastor said it this morning, your opinions don't really matter. Because if we have the truth of God's word, we can work together. I like my steak medium rare. You might like yours medium. You might like yours well done. But it doesn't mean we can't sit down together and have a meal together. Hallelujah. It means that we have little differences of opinions, but you can keep those opinions to yourself because the word of God is true. And we can stand on that word of God and we can work together as a body of believers. Hallelujah. And we can share what's inside of us. We can share our concerns. Oh, you're quiet tonight. Oh, hallelujah. We're living in a day when prophecy is fulfilled almost every day of the end times, of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible says Israel will be scattered to the four corners of the earth. Did that happen? Yes. Israel, the Bible says Israel will be gathered as a nation. Did that happen? Yes, May 14th, 1948. The Bible says Israel will regain the city of Jerusalem. That's happening. Yes. The Bible says that Israel will be isolated from other nations of the world. Is that happening? Yes. We're getting ready for Jesus' return. It's getting close. The Bible also says in the Ezekiel war that Israel will be attacked by nations to her north that's bent on her destruction, and they will have allies that will be with them. Has that happened? Not yet, but it's already in the making. It's taking place as we're speaking here tonight. And it says in the Bible that Jerusalem will be the center of all of the conflicts of the world. That's where the war is going to be, folks. Hopefully and prayerfully, the Gentiles will be removed. And that war will be between the Lord. And we know many other things we could say, but are you ready? Do you know the way? Do you need to be motivated? Do you need to engage in acts of love and kindness? Do you need to be encouraged to be where God's word is spoken, where God's word is worshipped? I don't know. Paul says, are you ready? And I want to close out this year with a challenge. In Philippians 3 and verse 12, Paul says, I haven't attained it all yet. I'm not there yet. And I believe that we could all say that. We've been pressing on. We want to get closer to God, but we're not all there yet. We're not quite there yet. There's more that we can do. So Paul says in verse 13, Philippians 3 and verse 13, he says, I forget those things which are behind. You want to close out the year and have victory in 2019, you have to put 2018 behind you. The things that are negative, you need to put them under your feet and say, Lord, forgive me if I've been wrong. Wash me where I've been wrong. Heal me where I've been wrong. Check my attitude. I need to be more thankful. Oh, hallelujah. Wasn't that a great message this morning? Thankful. He says he does this one thing. I'm not there yet, forgetting those things which are behind. But he says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Ooh, hallelujah. God gives us a vision of the things that are ahead. And I know, whether it's difficult or not, that there's great things that God has ahead for the church in 2019. We had a woman who we know is in the ministry, very prophetic. She says, the number 9 means finally. And she said, finally, my family's going to come to the Lord. Finally, everything's going to be taken care of that I don't know how to take care of. Finally. And she had a whole list of finallys. But Paul says, only one thing I do. I'm not there yet, but this is what I'm doing. Keeping my eyes fixed on the goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not there yet. The reason I'm not there yet, there's been a lot of things taking place in my life. They haven't all been great. But I'm going to put them under the blood. Who was Paul in his old life? A lot of garbage, a lot of baggage. But he wasn't taking that with him. And we're the same way. We close out 2018 laying down those things, because we've all made a lot of mistakes, except, let's see, there's a couple of perfect ones. No. Anyway, we lay them down. We say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me from those things. Forgive me of those things, because I see something. Ooh, hallelujah. Brother Richard, we see something out there. There's a prize waiting for us. There's a prize waiting for us. So we lay down all those things and all those hurts and all that pain. People have spoken against you and people have said about you. The ill will that they have wished against you. We lay that down. We say, Father, I'm going to have victory. I'm going to move forward. It's going to be a good year for you, Brother Richard. The Lord says it's going to be a good year for you because you're going to advance in the kingdom. Hallelujah. There's a miracle that God's working, already been working. You've been praying for it, but you haven't seen the answer. God says, I'm already working that miracle for you. So don't give up. There's a prize waiting. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord, and anoint him. See, God is motivating the church. He wants to motivate us to the next level. He doesn't want us to stay the same. But we like to stay the same because it's comfortable. I always say that's why the children of Israel stayed in the wilderness, because it was hard to advance, because they knew there were giants there. There were giants in the land. They knew they were going to have to do battle. And in the wilderness, there was miracle after day after day. The food, the manna, the quail, the water, their clothes, everything was taken care of by God. And so they became comfortable in a place that God didn't want them. And we do the same. God wants to motivate us to the next level. He said, I have a place prepared for you. Children of Israel, I have a place prepared for you where I'll watch over your land. I'll make sure that you have everything you need. But they were comfortable outside the blessing of God. We don't want to be that way as a church. We want to press in. Like Paul says, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm going to forget those. They're under the blood. There's a new day. Ooh, hallelujah, a new day coming. This is going to be a year of God's anointing in your life. It's like the zippers opened up. Whatever the enemy thought he had sealed in that, had you kept you in there, the Lord just ripped that open. There's a new freedom that's coming into your life, a new anointing that's going to break forth in this year. This year, a lot of things are going to change. Things that most of us don't know about, but you know about. And the Lord said, get ready, son. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Doors. Lord just shows me doors all the time. Open doors. Closed doors. It's not closed. The Lord says it's been unlocked for the last couple of years. You know what that means? I don't. Kind of do. But there's a door that's still open for you that you can walk through, and there will be complete satisfaction in that door, walking through that door for you. Brother Cliff, that's what the Lord says. Son, there's some things you have to let go of. Not because you're bad or doing the wrong thing, but there's things you have to let go of because he has more for you in the future than you've ever walked through in the past. That's a pretty good word, I believe. I have more for you before you than what has ever been in the past. The Lord says, I'm going to bless you and anoint you. And that door is unlocked. Whatever you do with that, it's going to be up to you. Hallelujah. Release that anointing on him. The hope and the faith that he needs, Father, to push that door open. Watch over him. Because many doors will be unlocked. And Lord, we know that you only have one that's right for him. So protect him, his motives, his desires, Lord, that he will walk through the door that you have opened for him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anoint him, Lord. Touch him and anoint him, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a way maker. He's here. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord's showing me. Light in the darkness. Been this cloud, dark cloud that followed you for many years, but the Lord's cut that off. But it's like I see it trying to rise in the west. And the Lord says, no. He's going to keep his light shining over you. So don't believe any bad reports. The Lord is saying, I'm going to keep my sun shining over you. And there's going to be growth that will come forth because I'm shining my light into the darkness that was there. So I see life coming forth. And it's not just for health reasons, okay? A lot of connections. It's almost like I see you stretching out your hands and there's all kinds of people grabbing your hands. So that to me means family. That means a lot of things. So the Lord says he's going to shine light where there's been darkness and there's going to be growth. 2019 is going to be a good year for you. There's going to be victory after victory after victory. You can just start writing them down when they happen. And by the end of 2019, you're going to have a sheet full. Ooh, hallelujah. Lord, bless them. This is a time of blessing for them. Time of continued healing. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God's going to come alive in your spirit, brother. And you're going to rise with fresh authority. Because, see, the enemy's not going to like what's going to happen. So, you're going to have to be bold in this year. I see you standing strong.
Lord bless you. You take those steps.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just, I see a light, but it's way in the distance. But the Lord says it's coming. Many doors that have tried to shut this, block out this light. But those doors, as I saw for Cliff, but these are a different kind of a door. The Lord says these doors have been open now. And they're still open, and they're going to be open all this time. That light is going to come very close and very bright. And it's going to illuminate something you've been desiring in your heart. It's like a freshness of the power of God's going to come onto your life. If you've ever really had revelation before, God's going to bring new revelation, and His Word is going to come alive in your spirit, and truth is going to start coming out of your mouth in a way that it never has before. That means God is going to use you to do some speaking somewhere. So just get ready, because the light's coming. The Lord says, it's coming. I just saw it in the distance. It's like it's moving this way. The Lord said, embrace it, because I'll be there with you. Bless him and anoint him, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's you. Lord says, it's you, son, that I'm going to touch. He's going to release you in an area where you've been bound. He's going to cause such joy to come forth in your life that your words are going to be like an echo on top of a mountain. And you're going to speak those words and they're going to bounce off the mountains. The Lord says, I'm releasing you, son, to do what I've called you to do. And there's a newness that will come into your life to change many situations. Oh, hallelujah. And it has to be God's glory. It has to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming to set you free to do what you've been called to do. That's really in short. But the Lord's saying, your voice. I've never spoken this to anyone before that I know, but your voice is going to bounce off the mountains. I don't know where you're going to go, brother, but God's going to be with you. And you're going to begin to speak His word. And it's going to be a powerful word. A word of freedom. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Touch Him, Lord. Anoint Him for this season. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wanda, the Lord says, you are my delight. The little things you do, I've noticed, and the big things you do, I've noticed. You've touched many people that have been hurting and crying out for help, and you've shown my love to them. The Lord says, I will reward you greatly in the days to come. But in this season, I want you to know that I'm with you, that you are not alone, that I will always walk with you, and I will be a strong tower for you to take a hold of, that you never have to worry about falling or tipping, because I am with you. As the Lord says, in this season, stay close to me, and you will feel my touch in a fresh way. I'm going to use you to prophesy to people, says the Lord. I'm going to use you to tell them of things to come. And you will open up many people's hearts because of your great love. The Lord says, get ready for a new wave of my glory and my anointing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch her. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See that freshness just coming to you to bring a release in your spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm almost finished. Stop when the Lord says stop, right? Hallelujah. Get ready. It's God doing new things, right? Hallelujah. Well, I come over here to speak to this couple. The Lord says, I can just hear Him. It's like the angels are crying out for you guys. I don't know what's happening, what's taking place, but the angels are standing in attention. It's like I see them like an army that's ready for battle. The Lord says the army is ready to be with you. I hear this voice in the distance crying, help me, help me, help me. There's somebody that you're going to have to go into the dark place to rescue. But God will show you. And you're going to go as a team. You're not going to be separated. See, the enemy will try to separate you. But he said you go together as a team. And you will go into this dark place and you will rescue those. It's not just one voice, but it's one voice that I hear, but it's many voices that are crying. The Lord says he's going to use you to break through the difficult areas. You can only do that in the Spirit. You can only do that through prayer. But once you break through, then you have to act. And the Lord says, you've been praying and praying, but it's going to be a day when you will act. And when you act, I'll be with you. My host of angels will go with you. And you will go and rescue those people. Hallelujah. So it's not over yet. You're not retired. I hate to tell you that. You're not retired. You're just beginning to be refired. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord says to this young woman, you've taken many steps in my direction. The Lord says, just continue to take my hand through the difficult ones because I'm going to be there with you. And there's so many things. It feels like there's no foundation. I see you walking and it's like you're sinking and it's just so hard. And you get scared sometimes. But the Lord says, because I'm with you, you don't have to be afraid to walk. So all of those unsure things and you're not sure what to do next and how to do it, and all these things, the Lord says, I'm going to be with you. Just do it anyway. Because you follow truth. What God's word says is true. You follow that. Okay? He's going to be with you. He takes your hand. Hallelujah. For you, young lady, the Lord says, you've taken many steps. And it's been good. There's some things yet. And you know, and the Lord's not scolding you. Just cut them off.
That's right.
And walk with me because I have greatness before you.
Right.
I have blessings before you. I have strength for you. And the Lord says, if you cut those off, there will be a new freedom that will come into your life that will bring such joy that you've never imagined. Not even walked in yet. The joy of walking with the Lord hand in hand is going to be so great that you will not miss any of those things. The Lord says, this is a new day for you. 2019 is going to be a very good year for you as you follow the words of the Lord. So listen, he's talking to you. He cares about you. He's talking to you. He cares about your soul. He cares about your spirit. He cares about you as a person. And so he's saying, I have a place that will bring such joy for you. Hallelujah. Bless your Lord. Whoa, hallelujah. Just continue to do your work, Lord, wherever she needs help. Release her from all of those things of the past. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. There's an anointing God wants to release in your life. I'm just going to touch you because I believe God is imparting into you hope where there is no hope. And he's imparting strength into your spirit because sometimes your spirit is weak. Right now, Lord, release your anointing into her life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Cody, I've taken my time. Hallelujah, there's other words. The word of the Lord for us tonight. Close down 2018, a couple days, tomorrow. Open the door for 2019, because God is doing great things. Getting ready, I see this with eyes that I can't understand, but he's getting ready to lift the church to a new platform. And the church is going to be heard because it's going to be a lot of the gray area is going to have to close down. Right now, the church is in trouble in America. The church, whatever denomination you want to call that. But there's coming a time when it's going to be truth and untruth, and it's going to be very clear. And I believe we're entering into that in 2019. It's going to begin to be manifested that those who stand for truth, the churches that preach the truth, they're going to be lifted up in the Spirit of God. It's going to have His way. Guess what? People are going to find out where that church is, and they're coming. You hear me? God says they're going to come because they're sick and tired of not knowing, wishy-washy, unfaithful, unholy people. Serious. They want to see the real Jesus. So we need to be the real Jesus for people tonight. Hallelujah. Sister, you're going to walk in an... Oh, hallelujah. You're going to, one with the beautiful black hair. You're going to walk in a new level of God's authority in your life. The enemy's come in and tried to hit you and knock you down. The Lord says, I'm going to raise you up. All you got to do is stand on my hands. I'm going to raise you up. He says, you're going to go to a new level in my glory, in my presence, this 2019. Hallelujah. God's going to do work, a miracle for you. Hallelujah. Faithful. The Lord says faithful to you. Faithful. Just keep being that way. Hallelujah. There's anointing. More of anointing God's releasing. I just see it coming like a wave. I've seen it before, and I saw the Lord sweeping like a wave over the churches. First of all, to wash away the impurity. And I see this always comes in three waves. But I don't see too much impurity, but the Lord says, I'm still going to wash his daughter. And then the third is for provision. The second wave comes in. I'm sorry. The first one is for washing. The second one is for financial blessing, everything. But the third is for the anointing. And the anointing is what breaks every yoke, everything that's been tied around you that has caused pain in your life, has caused problems in your life. The Lord says, it's all going to be washed away. Ooh, hallelujah. So he says, get ready because it's coming. Bless your Lord, touch your anointer, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Pastor Cody's going to come. We're always here to pray for you if you want prayer afterwards, but we're going to let Pastor Cody, close out this meeting. Lord bless you, be with you.